Thank you again for listening to Thank You for Being a Podcast, assuming you've listened to it before. If not, we are the Golden Girls Podcast, in which we watch an episode of The Golden Girls, and then we break it down scene by scene, like a crazy people. I'm Anthony DeSamito.
I'm Genevieve Rice.
And today we have a very special guest, returning guest, the very awesome Michael Palladino.
Hey, yay, everybody.
Hi, what's Michael. Up? How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Yes. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me, Anthony and Genevieve. I appreciate it.
Such short notice, so you made it.
Yeah, it's almost as if I had nothing going on.
And something very special about today's guest is he's actually our 100th episode.
I felt that in the air as soon as I walked in. Yeah.
Noise, well, fireworks.
Yeah, we had balloons fall
confetti
from the sky.
Confetti dumped right on top of me. A lot of glitter that'll take forever to get out of my hair.
We actually,
and out of Godiva. Yeah.
We actually invited Michael to play Twister, and he had no idea he was doing a podcast.
Are we not playing Twister anymore? Is that out?
We'll play Twister later.
We'll play Twister. We're not Twister teases. So.
You guys aren't Twister teases, are you?
And by that, I mean we're going to reenact the movie Twister in play format.
And I will play the Philip Seymour Hoffman character.
He was in Twister?
Yeah, he was in Twister. He's one of the storm chasers.
One of the good storm chasers or the bad storm chasers? Remember, there was the rival group?
My opinion of that movie, since I'm from Oklahoma, is that they are all bad storm chasers and do not know how to handle themselves around a tornado.
They let their emotions get way in the way of their tornado chasers.
Emotions, lack of knowledge about science.
Yes.
I want to be Helen Hunt.
You will. That goes without saying. You will be Helen Hunt.
Hey guys, I'm Helen Hunt.
I want to be Bill Paxton's original girlfriend. That's like, well, I guess I'll just have to do what you want, which is storm chasing.
You knew the deal when we got together.
That movie would have been better if it was like a supernatural twister, and the twister like spoke or something like, I'm gonna kill you.
Oh, Twister,
you
know? Met another Twister and fell in love.
Live in LA now. Make that happen. A yes. Twister reboot, supernatural
I'm gonna
Twister.
Pitch this to Ghost, Paramount.
Ghost Tornado.
Ghost Sci-Fi Twister. Channel.
Yeah.
And so we've asked you before. What's your Golden Girls background? I forget what it is.
Well, last time I was on the show, I think it was a year and a half ago, and really my background on Golden Girls then was pretty non-existent. In terms of like the old shows I used to watch reruns of, it would be mainly Cheers, Cosby Show, and maybe like A Different World a little bit. But I never was really into Golden Girls. And
since then, have
since
you?
Since then, whenever, because I do a lot of house sitting. Whenever I'm at somebody's house that's got a cable box and it's like midnight and I'm just trying to decompress and smoke a little and unwind, Golden Girls is always on one channel at some point. And not just one episode, but like a four-hour block of it. And so when that comes on, like, I have to watch it now, and it makes me, like, you guys have really changed my whole perspective on Golden Girls.
Yes, all right.
We've been waiting for somebody to
change.
Yes.
Yeah, because we've had people that are like, oh, I haven't watched an episode since. And, like, it feels like we've actually touched somebody's life.
Somewhere. You've made a believer out of me. That's for sure.
Yay. Okay, so we watched... I love this episode, even though like I judged it by its name a little bit. Oh, it's going to be boring. But the title is For an Exchange. Season 4, episode 24. Original air date was May 6, 1989. And as we do with every episode, Genevieve is going to give us a synopsis of what we watched for the listener who was not here. Go ahead, Genevieve. I don't know what accent that was. Okay.
I want to make sure. That was Anthony who said that. Wasn't me.
All right. I'll take a moment here.
to recover from...
Let's collect ourselves.
Recover. Yeah. Sophia's cousins from Sicily decide to visit, and before they're through the door, they decide to tell Dorothy that she is their daughter. Yeah. And that their daughter is not their daughter. She's Sophia's daughter. yeah, another guest that comes through and just thrusts things upon the Golden Girls.
Yeah, another relative with issues to throw at someone.
And Blanche and Rose decide to take a Dirty Dancing class.
Yeah.
Yeah, great B story there. Yeah.
Yeah, be very with the times of what's going on.
Yeah.
That's so, all we were doing in 1989 was Dirty Dancing.
It was right before Batman Fever, so yeah, it was right. Still Dirty Dancing time.
Yeah. Did Batman Fever replace Dirty Dancing?
I'm sorry, it was called Batmania.
Batmania.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Prince and Jack
People
Nicholson.
Are like, we're done throwing buckets of water on each other. We're ready to like.
That was more of a Flashdance thing, wasn't it?
Oh, Flashdance. Yeah. Sorry. I confuse Footloose, Flashdance, and Dirty Dancing. I'll always and forever. I just do.
Well, Flashdance was a stripper in Pittsburgh that stripped in the most unlikely blue collar bar, where they're all very supportive of her dances where she doesn't get very naked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of weird.
She doesn't flash that much during her dances.
They're like, I'm here for the art.
Also, I don't know where they find a welder in Pittsburgh who looks like that, but okay. Like,
she was the welder?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was a welder.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Welder by day, dancer by night.
You guys just want to watch Flashdance?
Can we just watch? Talk about just talk about Flashdance and how ridiculous it sounds?
Yeah.
She welded that chair that she danced on.
Well, she had to put her work into every aspect of the show. It had to be all about her.
Yeah. She welded that bucket too. And anyway, we start off by everyone's in the living room. I think Sophia's going through mail, but I forgot like what she was saying about that. Do you remember? I don't remember.
She just found a letter. Yeah, she found a letter from her cousins. That's all I remember.
Oh yeah, she found a letter from what's
cousins
her
from
name?
Sicily.
I wrote their names down. Dominic and Philomena.
Yeah,
were they relatives or were they just?
I think they were just friends.
But there was a cousin before that, right?
I thought they were. I wasn't sure if they were relatives or friends.
Because they became friends at the hospital where Dorothy was born in Sicily. I guess, but I thought Dorothy was born in Brooklyn.
She was. Yeah, she said that.
So this all took place in Brooklyn? Like them being...
Yeah.
The hospital.
It's like, very confusing.
Okay.
It's all,
yeah.
Because they're Italian and they're from Sicily. And so...
They just went to America to have the baby.
Yeah. I guess. Because at the...
This baby will be born in America. And then they go right
and they
back
would go
home.
Back
just,
to Italy.
That's all they wanted.
Already this episode doesn't check out. It really doesn't check out a lot.
Maybe it was their version of having an anchor baby.
But like, yeah, but then they never moved to the U.S., you know. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I think anybody could move to the U.S. and it was fine.
Pretty easy.
Yeah, like you didn't need an anchor child. I don't know. Anyway.
You just had to have like a strong back.
be able to sign your name and speak clearly.
Okay. Yeah. So let's just assume that they went to Brooklyn. She didn't know she was pregnant kind of situations. And she had her daughter, which was, if it was Dorothy, she should know she was pregnant because she's so big, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they were born, Dorothy and their daughter was born minutes from each other. And so they became friends because of that, like lifelong friends. And I guess they grew up in the same area or in Italy somewhere. They moved back.
The timeline is real shaky.
It's really muddy. Yeah. Okay. So, all right. So they're going to come visit, but they're not going to tell them what the news is until they get there, right? Which is fucked up, but
it's typical in Golden Girls, family and friends fashion.
Yes.
People just like, I'm just going to show up and, thrust news upon you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I could do that. Like just
show
up to someone's like, I don't know. I think I have when I broke up with a guy, but
But it's this never... is just like the Golden Girls.
Like I go to their house and
did,
I break
did
up
Did you
with
ask
them.
Him for an organ?
I said, I need your heart. Also,
also,
oh, damn
dick.
It, I broke it. And then, okay, and then Blanche and Rose come in, and Blanche is like super excited about this dirty dancing class, right? And she's like bragging about how she's gonna fucking kill it. Like, she's like, I does what I'm about, you know?
Yeah, she's about that life.
Yeah. And so she invites Rose to do it. She doesn't want to do it by herself, and she wants to outshine Rose. She's like, Rose is gonna suck at this. But
guess what?
But guess what? Yeah, Rose knows how to torque it. She knows how to get it. Yeah.
And Blanche, not so much.
Blanche, not so much, as it turns out. And so, so the next scene, by the way, the parents' names were Dominic and Philomena. Mm-hmm. And I love that name, Philomena.
Oh yeah, it's a good name.
It's a good name. It's like a cartoon name, like you, like Philomena
Penelope?
The Philomena the cat or something like that.
It's bouncy.
It's bouncy.
Yeah. It's musical.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so the next scene, they're in the kitchen, and for some reason, Sophia made some really nasty tasting, like pasta sauce.
No. The joke was that she was boiling, utensils or something in one pot to kind of get the crap off of it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then the other pot was the sauce.
So Dorothy tasted the wrong.
She
pot.
Tasted like the cleaning pot.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. Yeah. She just looked into a pot full of utensils. And was like, clearly this is the one that I'm going to sample.
This must be it.
This is how much attention I was paying because like, I was like, why was her sauce
she was
disgusting?
No, I think you could, as a Sicilian, I think you can get arrested for that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Especially if you're serving it to authentic Sicilians.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So maybe like this whole thing was like fake. I don't know. Like maybe they were just trying to like
what was fake?
Play up like the whole because like the timeline doesn't check out. Maybe Sophia was just like, I'm gonna fuck with Dorothy for a while. You know,
that's very possible.
It's my only explanation.
That would make her a horrible person.
Yeah.
No, I'm not as familiar with the character as you guys are. Do you is she capable of this kind
of
mental torture?
Oh, I think this checks out for sure.
She's capable of that, but there has to be a motive. Like I needed to distract her for something else. You know. Like, keep her busy with thinking she's not my daughter.
What could she possibly be up to?
Maybe later on she was going to ask for money or ask for, I don't know, a trip to Sicily.
This isn't
the
Sophia that I'm familiar with, but you guys know her better than I do.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, man.
She's a schemer.
I think she's running a jug ring out of the garage.
Jug ring? She came all the way from the old country to work with Florida bootleggers to
maybe like they were bringing drugs, like fucking, you know, and like they needed a place to stay, these drug lords or something, and she was like, we're gonna pretend like you're, because they came in and left really fast. Mm-hmm. Like, we're gonna come up with the story and you guys are gonna this outlandish tale, you know, like I don't know if you guys are on board with this theory, but like, yeah, I don't know.
Okay. You're getting like Tower 7 about a Golden Girls episode. I should point out that I thought you said jug ring, as in they make moonshine in the back of the house.
I like that too.
Yeah. So drug ring, of course, makes more sense.
I kind of like the fact that she would be making moonshine when it's legal in the United States.
I thought you said jug ring too, and that's why I jumped to drug ring.
Oh, okay.
But you said drug.
Yeah.
Okay.
I said drug. Yeah.
I thought they were making illegal alcohol.
I like
custom jugs.
I did know that jug ring was a term. I like it.
It's
now.
Not, but it is now. Yeah.
Maybe it's black market boobs.
Black market.
A jug ring. Yeah. All right. Your jug ring is up.
These implants don't have any serial numbers on them. What's going on?
I made these in my bathtub.
Illegal printing of fake boobs.
Counterfeit boobs. Counter tits.
Yep. Counter tits. You have to hold them up to the light to see if you see through them. They're fake.
Yeah.
Well, that's, but they are fake.
Yeah, they are fake. Yeah.
Faker.
Faker.
These are fake boobs.
That's not a real Lincoln.
This is a bad zirconia on its best day.
You have to use the counter tit marker. So then there was this soda that we couldn't figure out what it was that they were drinking.
I think, yeah, the best, the closest guess we had was you said saliva. It looked like.
Yes, saliva. I think there was an R though, like saliva.
Maybe it was.
Survivor.
Survivor.
Yeah, we thought maybe it was stevia, which I don't even think was a thing back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They.
Maybe I just said Steve. Steve soda.
Steve.
You drank my last Steve.
You guys.
A local Florida drink.
Hey, Steve. Guys, I brought a six pack of Steve. Oh, man. Then Rose and Blanche come in from their dance, and it turns out, like, Blanche is trying to, like kind of, you know, beat around the bush that she sucked. But Rose is like, she stunk, like straight up.
Yeah,
like,
no filter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the innocent ones that will surprise you with a nice, like,
well, sure,
twerk.
Yeah. It's like how kids are.
Mm-hmm.
My whole thing was like,
kids? Kids are wholesome and then they start twerking.
No. They'll just say something. No, they'll just say something like out of the blue. No, not about twerking. That's not what I meant. They'll just be brutally honest.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like, the A story in this, like, the main story was so, like, deep. It was like, you know, she might not be Sophia's daughter. And that raises a lot of questions. That changes a lot of things. But then, like, they try to, like, there's that whole thing that has all these implications. But then the B story is just like, Rose and Blanche are dancing. And it's it just seems like that's not.
There wasn't a real arc. It was just like.
It kind of paid off in the end when they had their little dance number. But it was like.
I think what usually happens is there's a dance instructor and they're both in love with him. You know, and that's like. There's some sort of like deeper like story B plot like even if it is a B plot there's something that they're fighting for, like if there was like an award, you know, like a Dirty Dancing trophy, like that like and they were, you know, like that would have made it a little bit more like solid of a story.
Sure.
Do you mean
more of the fact that like it was such a heavy implication, the idea that, you know, these two characters that this whole time we've thought that they were mother and daughter, and now that might not be the case at all. But then in the background there's this, you know, well, we gotta learn how to dance, and it's like, well, no, like, do you know what I mean? Like, that just seems so trivial compared to this main story of that was so.
Maybe if Gina was like, I want a dirty dance too. And then
Gina really didn't do anything. Gina just had to be there and look like
she
Sophia.
Turns out to be the best dirty dancer.
Yeah, that would have brought the whole thing
home.
That
would have been great.
She put some European flair into it.
Because they were she throws spaghetti or something during it. She rubs spaghetti on her boobs.
Yeah, that would, pesto sauce, sure.
A meatball comes out of her vagina at the end.
Big finale.
Ta-da!
The lasagna lambada.
Now, I'm not too familiar with, like, a lot of the storylines as they go from season to season, but is this, like, a jump the shark kind of thing a little bit?
The storylines usually are A plot, tiny B plot, or A plot,
sure, yeah,
dealing with B plot, and then tiny nothing C plot, or one giant A plot that just everybody's on this adventure. Like everybody's on.
I feel like this should have been one giant A plot.
Yeah,
like, it was. That's big enough to where like it almost makes Rose and Blanche seem a little bit self centered, where they're all like, I hope you figure that whole thing out about your mom.
Because I agree with that.
We gotta learn how to hump dance.
Yeah, it's like not only are they friends with these people, but they live with them, and they're just like, ooh, wow, okay, well, you go do that.
Like if I were to take like my household B plots and A plots, I would try to like figure out, like if I would try to like to be like, who has the biggest A plot? Oh, it's probably okay. Like I'm unemployed. Kirsten and Kevin are like fighting about something, and then Matt is depressed about something. Like, who has the most? Like, I feel like, I don't know, because their plots are dealing with like romantic things.
Mm-hmm. You're pitching Anthony's house to us, right?
My plot is less. I'm the only one not in a relationship or dealing with relationship issues in my household. So I'm the C plot because I'm just unemployed. Like, that's how I feel. Anyway.
Oh, man, this got serious.
Yeah, yeah. Man, like,
no, I'm not complaining. I'm happy that I don't have the big problem.
It's nice to just be on the show.
Yeah.
It's nice to be a cast member.
I'm okay with having the C plot is what I'm saying.
If you start going down that road now, you'll never get past the C plot. You have to want to be more than that. And you could be more than that.
Oh, man. Okay. So
you can't just be like, you know, the wacky best friend. You can't be like Fez from That 70s Show. You have to be
one of the main characters.
You have to be one of the main characters. You can do that.
It's so much work. I'd rather just have like one to three funny lines and just.
You'd rather just be like Woody Creed from The Office.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would like to be maybe Mindy Kaling, just a little bit more lines than Creed, you know.
You're like Thomas Hayden Church in Wings.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which one?
He was like the Woody, basically. Like Woody from Cheers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Also Woody from Cheers.
Yeah.
Another good.
Yeah.
Jimmy Gibbler.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to have that much lines. Anyway.
Mona from Who's the Boss? No, that's a little too big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to be Roz from Frasier. You know, like I want my scene at the beginning, get it out of the way.
Yeah. I think more like Mad Dog from Frasier.
Mad Dog. Oh, he's more, I don't know, he's more less lines.
Gunther from Friends, would that be two little lines?
Two little lines.
Yeah.
I think Friends, everybody has an equal amount of lines. So Friends might be just a little too.
I feel like you're such a force that if you were a character that was that small, it would go Urkel on you. And then you would be brought in for little thing. And
that's nice.
The kind of person you are in life would immediately overshadow the rest of the show.
Yeah.
And you would just ruin it.
I kind of overshadow the show at my house, too.
Yeah.
Like, I'll make it about me.
You are no Judy Winslow. So.
Yeah, she was very expendable, and you're not expendable.
Right. And what was that? Okay, go ahead.
No, yeah. So, I mean, it's just, to me, this kind of storyline was just so out of nowhere and so heavy that it really did feel like, I'm not too familiar with the other stuff, so it's just like, like I asked, like, is this so outlandish that it would be considered like, because this is the end of the fourth season, right?
Yeah.
How many seasons are there?
Seven.
Oh, okay. So we're actually kind of halfway through.
We're more than halfway through.
Have you guys noticed that lately the storylines are beginning to get a little bit more like out
like
there?
Crazy?
Yeah.
This one, they went along with them. They were really crazy season one, I felt.
Yeah.
How crazy?
And then, like, insane. Like
there's an episode where Rose gets a gun and shoots somebody.
Because they were still trying to find their footing, I think, and they were just testing things out and stuff.
Well, that's how first seasons always are.
I think it's more of an 80s thing. I mean, I think, like, there's, like, sitcoms weren't, I think TV has gotten, on the whole, better.
Absolutely. And I think there was probably some cocaine in writer's rooms, and everything was written to be very fast. And
okay, we need to get to... We're okay. Barely getting into the second scene, guys. Okay. So we need to get... Right. Move on. Move on. All right. So Frida and... Not Frida. I call her Frida Claxton because... So Dominic and Philomena are mm-hmm. the parents, and they come in first. The Gina's parents, the old friends from Sicily or Brooklyn, wherever. And Philomena played Frida Claxton in one of the episodes before.
Yeah.
And she...
She was also the boss on the Drew Carey Show for a while.
Oh, she was, yeah. Wasn't she? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she... died in that episode. Frida Claxton died.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was really weird to see her, but she had like a different hairdo. Like they made her look different. And then Dominic was the Italian architect that was helping them build the garage.
Architect is a little strong.
He's
like a contractor.
A carpenter.
Yeah.
He was Italian carpenter. And so these guys are back. They look different. One can walk, one has different hair. And so, he was in a wheelchair.
Which is about as far as they went in the 80s, if they brought back characters.
Yeah, let's just change.
Was there a shortage of actors at the time? Like, why did... That's just so weird to me.
Yeah.
You see that so often.
I think they chose Frida because... Or Claxton, because they felt like she looked a little bit more like B. Arthur. Mm-hmm. You know? I get that. But I think... they could have chosen a taller guy, you know, because then it would have made more sense.
It's funnier to see a shorter guy and a taller woman.
Is it?
Visually, it's...
Yeah. Right. Visually, yeah. But to make the story more like, oh shit, those are the parents, make him tall as fuck.
I like the way you said that. Oh shit, those are the parents.
And then Gina's outside paying with a rooster, the cab.
Because
she's the daughter. Yeah, she's the youngest one. She needs to take care of the finances. Mm-hmm. Take care of
with a chicken.
And so she's haggling with the cab, and which is great that they explain this. Usually they just have somebody else come in for no reason. They were just standing outside. And so they explain to Dorothy that there is an arranged marriage that has to happen at 60 years old.
Yeah. Why not?
That's what I did. Like, that's why I don't get it. Like, that's why maybe there was a drug ring, you know, there was no questioning. Maybe in Italy, there is 60-year-old, arranged marriages, or maybe
I feel like there isn't.
Yeah.
I feel like there isn't anywhere.
Maybe India, but not at that age.
But not in Italy. Right?
Yeah.
No, I don't never. Think that would be no. There would be pressure to marry certain people, but nothing would be arranged. It would be.
Yeah. And so they, okay. So why didn't so they have this information? They did, I guess, a blood test. I don't know if you caught that, but it was very fast how they said it.
Super fast.
Yeah.
We did
a
blood test, and we found out Gina's not our daughter, so it must be you.
Mm-hmm. Logic says, yeah.
Logic says it must be you because I guess there were the only two babies born that day. Like, I don't understand. And so... Okay, so then they're like, you must be our daughter. And then Gina comes, and you're going to get married to the most handsome man in the village. And what I thought was going to happen is that the hot guy was going to come in.
Yeah, that me too. Made more sense. Yeah. Me too. I was looking forward to hot Italian guy coming in.
And then Dorothy was going to be like,
guess what? No.
Right. Like, yeah, I'll be your daughter.
That's what I wanted to see. And then Sophia's like scrambling to save her daughter.
Yeah.
You know.
But instead we got Mini Sophia.
Right, we got Mini Sophia. Mm-hmm. I was like, she's like, I'm going to marry her. You have to marry your mom.
A younger version of your mother, as is tradition in the Italian culture.
Yeah, daughters have to marry their versions of their moms.
Yes. Well, as opposed to sons in the Italian culture.
Okay, and so then that's like the shock. And the next scene, also like, but before that, like Sophia's like mini-me is looks like not only looks like her, but she's dressed like her. Mm-hmm. Wig, like not wig, her hair was like brown, like a bowl haircut kind mm-hmm. of, but she had the purse, the exact same purse, and like the Peter Pan collar. Like
they really went all for it.
They went all out for this. Mm-hmm. It was out of control. Like, and then, okay, so the next scene, they're in bed, Dorothy and Sophia, because they're all sleeping in the other bed, like Charlie and Chocolate Factory grandparents. And so they're...
Which, by the way, every time I would watch that scene when I was a kid, I was so bummed out. I was like, they don't even have their own beds.
Yeah. Yeah, but they never explain why, how they got on that bed. Like, did they all do heroin?
Bad investments.
Why... Yeah. What happened?
That's just how poor people are. Literally how my babysitter explained that to me. She said, yes.
That's how poor people are.
Yes.
It's like, they don't want to succeed. Yeah. That's the problem.
They just lay in bed next to each other all day.
They've forgotten they have bootstraps that they can pull themselves apart. That's what the problem is. They could just work at the factory. They could always work at the factory. I don't know what their deal is, but anyway.
Yeah, and those grandparents just didn't die. Like both those parents' grandparents were alive. Like they had, I think they had like six grandparents somehow.
Yeah.
Well, Charlie's grandpa could get up and walk. He was the only one that could get up and walk, so he took him to the factory.
Right. Yeah. That was like after he found out that he could get money. Or free chocolate.
Look, I can walk.
Okay.
We'll have to watch that movie and do the podcast.
We need to watch this movie again. Okay, and so Twister. Then... what's that?
Twister.
And Twister, yeah. Right.
I'd say watch the 1971 version of Charlie.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not watching the Johnny Depp version.
Johnny Depp version doesn't have the grandparents in the
It does. Bed. It does. And it they're, does, all, do they're all in the same bed.
Oh, okay. I don't remember. I just thought it was all different. Like, they fucked it all up.
No, it was, like, it had a lot of different things in it, but it still had that.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't get rid of that.
So then... They're in the bed and they're like having this whole discussion about how possibly you may not be my mom. And then, it was just like, Sophia was like kind of being a bitch about it. She was just like, well, maybe you're not my daughter. Like, who knows? Like, wouldn't even say I love you.
Yeah. Like up until the end of the episode, almost, she never really stopped doing that. She kept
fucking with her.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I just think she's amused with it. Like, yeah. She's amused by this whole, oh, they're just coming here. They think you're their mm-hmm. daughter and they're going to try to marry you off.
Right. It was so weird.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, I mean, did we have any kind of curiosity as to like whether or not this was true? Like,
I do.
Yeah.
I think the whole thing's a sham. I think they're like smuggling in drugs because they scrambled in and scrambled out. Like they were there for 24 hours.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing there, but I know that that's not the reason they're there. I think they're like, they have like a dead body. They all had like suitcases. Like, I don't know.
Do you think Gina is the kingpin?
Yeah. Yes. She's like, okay, because she's like, all right, we need to make you look like Sophia.
And they came down to Florida. They had a deal with the Cubans.
Yeah. They just borrowed Sophia's clothes and they just put them on her. And they're like, all right, you're going to like, or I don't know, like maybe they're illegal, you know, from Italy. They're like just staying there for a day. They're on the run. Mm-hmm. They stole money. Something sketchy is going on.
This is like the grifters with John Cusack.
Yes. Because when they were leaving, they're like, okay, we got to go. Mm-hmm. You know what? Everything is fine. We love her. And like, and we accept her, and she's going to get married to the guy. Okay, bye. And then they left.
Yeah.
Like, that was...
very abruptly.
Very abruptly. And then all the Golden Girls were like, well, that's settled then, yeah. You know?
Another wacky adventure, all wrapped up.
Yeah.
Until next week. it's that whole structure is very much present in this episode. Just like, you know, well, that's all solved. Like,
yeah. And then, like, the dude was, like, creeping in their room also. Yeah. Like, she was, like, I forget what she says. She said,
oh, I just want my parents to hold me.
Yeah, I just want my mom to hold me. And then he's, like...
And then dad comes in.
Yeah, like, he was in there already.
Oh, yeah. Like, he came from underneath the bed.
He's, like, I need an opportunity.
If he just walked out from, like, a dark shadow, that would have been the best. And just petted the side of her face with the other side of his hand. Like,
he was in there trying to steal like jewelry, sure, or like something, and then he just had that golden opportunity to just like,
well, I better say something to my daughter.
To my daughter.
Bambina.
My bambina. And then like, Philomena like jumps in there too. She's like, what's going on? Like, let's... like, mom. And they're both like, what? Like, they both answer what to mom. Her that and old Sophia. Gag.
How great was their gray hair dye, by the way?
Terrible. Yeah.
It was so like school play. Like, you're playing an old man.
Yeah.
Can of gray spray paint.
They done the last time he was on.
Wig.
Do you remember when he was on the
you're
show
the dad
last time?
From our town.
Yeah.
They did that to him too.
He had like blue hair last time.
Yeah. They like spray painted it on. Like, he wouldn't wear a wig. Like, he's like, just spray paint me. Yeah. It looks like he was huffing fucking shit and it got in his hair. Okay. And so then they settle with, okay, we're going to do a blood test tomorrow. All right. We're going to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so get this settled, whatever. And Sophia doesn't even say, I love you at the end. She's just like, good night. The next scene, Blanche and Rose are out. They come back from Dirty Dancing, I think.
They decided to take it from class out into a club.
To a Miami nightclub.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Oh, God.
When did we get to see that?
I think we did.
I like to pretend like this is all happening in the same world as other Miami shows of the day, like Miami Vice. they're all in that same universe.
Was there other Miami shows besides like?
Well, probably just Miami Vice. Actually, now that I think about it.
Well, probably the
you should write that spec.
Empty Nest was probably around.
Yeah,
yeah. Empty
you should
Nest.
Do a spec of Miami Vice meets Golden Girls.
Yeah, there. I bet you there's another Miami show.
Sure.
Did you know that this show was going to be called Miami Nice?
Really?
Yeah. That was one of the original like names that they thought for the Golden Girls.
Miami Nice.
I know.
Did you hear that Miami got rated as the most rude city in the country?
Oh, really?
And you know what number two is?
Phoenix.
Phoenix, yeah. Arizona.
But that was just
it.
Yeah.
But I don't understand what kind of study they did for that. Like, it was just someone's experience. Like,
I would imagine there's a lot of like. Are you familiar with your neighbors? I think is probably one of them, which that's not a big thing out here.
People don't get along. We talk to each other now.
How people talk, like, do people talk to each other on the bus or the light rail? We're getting off topic here, but yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, listener, I'm in Phoenix right now. So
yeah.
Yay.
He's here.
This is why we're able to like know what we're saying.
Yeah. It didn't just fall out of the fucking sky. We know about Phoenix. Bird City.
Okay. And so, then Blanche is wearing these short, like these. Okay. She's wearing like this island top with palm trees. And at the bottom, there's a lake. And then her shorts are like blue and they match that lake. She is an island. Like,
upon herself.
She's a metaphorical and physical island right now in her life.
Yeah.
She. Good.
No, yeah, you're right. It's she's. that whole outfit is just such a metaphor.
And like, she really takes it to heart that Blanche is sluttier dancer. It's a better, sluttier dancer.
Rose is, yeah.
Rose.
Rose is a better dancer.
Because sluttiness is like kind of her
It's
wheelhouse.
Her bread and butter.
It's,
yeah, she's having like an identity crisis.
Oh, man.
If I can't be the sluttiest dancer, then what am I?
Yeah.
Who am I?
It's so interesting.
She can't be slutty dance like a dirty dancer, so her whole existential mm-hmm. kind of thing comes to light. It's sad that that's what her identity is tied to, but
yeah. And I've met people that are like that. They're like, they need to be slutty. Like, that's their thing, which is fine. But like, it's interesting that they like
which is
they
fine.
Have a better story than you always about being a slut. Like, and you can never out-slut them, but usually I can. Because I'm like, I might not be slutty, but I'm a good storyteller. And I will.
You'll do it for the story.
I'll do it. Like,
yes.
Well, like, I can tell a not a slutty story better than that slut can tell their really great slut story.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Putting forth some bold claims on this podcast.
It's like, you don't go to the batting cages every day, but when it comes down to the game, like, you could do okay.
I can do okay.
Yeah. And tell a good story about it.
Oh, man. Okay. And so, Gina... Okay, so then Blanche is sort of like, well, don't worry about it. She loves you. You're your mom. You have a bond that will never break, whatever. And then Sophia and Gina come in and they're like blah 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 and getting along, and they like go to the fridge because she's got to show her something, like maybe like the drugs are in there or something, or the human head, whatever they're trying to like deal with, and talking in Italian, right, so nobody knows what they're saying, and
so nobody knows what they're saying
because they're fucking on some DL shit or something. Yep. Anyway, mm-hmm. So, and then Dorothy gets really like scared. She's genuinely scared of like not being like, like her mom's baby, right? Okay. So the next scene, they're at the hospital. And this is a kind of a weird scene. Like, this joke really lasted like 3 minutes, this whole woman thing.
Like, yeah, what was up with her?
So I guess she was like a doctor.
No, she was there because I think a relative was in surgery or something. So
yeah,
in the waiting room together.
Yeah, like initially, yes, like she was there. She was there because of like she was waiting for surgery to happen. Mm-hmm. And she was nervous. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, she's like, yeah, they call a doctor. She's like, well, that's me. I got to go get ready for surgery.
Oh, that was a joke. I missed that.
Oh,
yeah.
I think I missed it today because we were talking, but I remembered from watching it once last night. But she was like...
way to plan ahead.
It's all right.
No, it's...
No way.
Yeah, no.
It's
I should have done that.
And so she was so that was the whole joke, mm-hmm. but it was like such a long
build up
to that. Like mm-hmm. it was like really dramatic and stuff. So whatever. And she was dressed very like I called her outfit very Casablanca. It was
loose fitting khaki mm-hmm. pantsuit.
Yeah, it was like a pantsuit from the top and then a dress on the bottom, but it was like a one piece. And it was like belted, mm-hmm. like kind of high waisted. And it had like but it wasn't that much fabric, which makes it very 40s.
It looked like she walked out of that room and onto an airplane tarmac where there was a propeller old school plane waiting for her.
That's what she calls surgery.
Yeah. It's a surgery in cursive on the side of the plane.
You got to go have an iconic moment with your former lover.
It's emotional surgery, guys.
That's your next podcast when this is over.
Emotional surgery.
With Dr. Decimato.
That's it. That's gonna be it, guys. So then she's like, well, both of them are freaking out, and then Sophia comes in and she's like, she's got a story because they're waiting for the test results, the DNA test results, which
blood
I don't know.
Test.
Blood test was yeah. it? Okay, mm-hmm. sorry.
This was before DNA testing.
Oh, really? Kind of. DNA testing didn't.
I'm sure you could test DNA, but it wasn't something you can go to the hospital for. Yeah. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you have to be famous and get raped to get a DNA test,
or murder somebody, or be accused of murdering somebody. Yeah,
yeah, or be black and be and murder somebody to get a DNA test.
That's what it took.
Back then. And so she tells a story. Well, she's like, finally she calms her down. She's like, all right, these drug mules are on the side of the house. I'll calm her down. And she's like, she says to her, like, the story of, like, basically Dorothy's first day at school and how, like, there was a girl named Little Debbie. And I feel like it was very, like, what do you call that? Like, when you look at something and you make up a story.
Oh.
Kaiser Soze.
There were Little Debbies on the table. She's like, I remember Little Debbie. And, like, there was, like, and you were at school. And there was, like a school pamphlet on the table. Like. But, like, basically this girl was, like, being like a bitch to her in school, the first day of school. Mm-hmm. And Sophia just like stared at her through the window for 4 hours, like
to make sure she didn't
freak out, right?
She was watching over her daughter,
right?
To make sure that, yeah.
Which I would be like, you must have been like really like in a tree or something for people to not.
I do like that visual.
Like she must have, yeah, like what kind of, like she couldn't just been like head popped in or somebody would have seen her. Like she must have been like in a bush or like, I like the tree. Like,
disguised as a groundskeeper.
Yeah.
That would have, yeah, I think that would be the most logical thing.
Okay, and so the doctor comes out with the blood test results, and like, and they, Sophia grabs them and she rips them because she finally like says, you're my daughter no matter what, like, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna fuck with you anymore, right? And so they take off and everything is like fine. It could have ended there, but no. So the next scene, Rose is coming out of the bedroom and she's wearing like these pink, really tight spandex.
Yeah, she
like,
is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were called heat-seeking shorts.
Heat-seeking stretch pants.
Heat-seeking stretch. Is that a real term?
It's just stretch pants. They just look, I mean, they're bright pink.
So she was just calling them heat-seeking to be
like
a bitch.
Like a missile, like a heat-seeking missile.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Trying to get some missile.
She was like basically slut shaming her, even though she's the slut. Like, there's,
well, turnabout's like, fair play for once,
right?
In Blanche's case,
right?
They give it to her pretty bad, so she had to say
so
something.
She has to say something.
Yeah,
yeah. But it's always like, okay, like what percentage of women do you think are as slutty as they dance? Like, like, I think maybe 40.
I think this is a dangerous game, and I think we should avoid it.
Yeah, I don't even want to say.
If you want to write in and tell us,
but it can
what you
be.
Think, that's fine.
But it can also be like, I'm very not, like, I'm very slutty, but I dance very conservatively, you know? So it can go either way.
Can it?
Yeah. Like, I can, like, a ballroom dancer could be really slutty.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
It doesn't, I don't think, there needs to be, like, a statistic or something. A test done.
There's no real hard and fast rule to how you dance and what you choose to do.
Right.
With
right.
How
so
permissive
what I'm,
you want to be.
I agree with that. That's what I'm trying to say. about Blanche's comments, like, just because she dances dirty doesn't mean she's
really
a slut.
Holding on to this whole, like, yeah, she just she feels like she's entitled to be the best dirty dancer because she's so open about who she is sexually. But it's like, yeah, do those two things really have to be correlated together?
Yeah,
you know,
in her mind, it does. Like everything, like you have to, like eating chicken slutty. Like she has to do it better. Like it's everything.
How would you eat chicken slutty? You were just eating chicken when I walked in, so can you?
He was eating it slutty.
I was eating it slutty.
You just take the whole chicken leg and put it in your mouth and pull a bone like a.
Well, at first I like went down on the chicken. And I was like, giblets.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good start.
Yeah. And then Genevieve was watching the whole time. It was really weird.
Oh, I hope so.
I was watching. Godiva was watching. Pod turned away.
Next time, put that on Facebook Live. Slutty chicken eating.
Okay, and so then that's when like they have the dance duel. Like they're like
where we see how this B story is finally paid off.
Yeah. We see the payoff of the B story, and Blanche really pushes that coffee table out of the way like it was life or death. Like it was a car on her child. She's like, "Oh." Like, it's like, make it or break, like, get out of the way. I gotta prove my reputation here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, what was your opinion on this dancing?
Could have used a couple more rehearsals. Could have been more of a thing.
Yeah.
Could have had more to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you, Genevieve?
I would have liked to have seen the nightclub scene for myriad reasons. I thought it was dirty. I thought they did a good job. They were obviously learning something in that class. There's still some more they can probably learn. I mean, it's only like, what, a weekend? Like,
right.
Yeah, so. And
were they learning like tango?
Something like that. It seems that way. Overall, C minus, I think. Could have been a little better.
See,
but
issue with it was that like when like they were not as intimate with each other. Like when Blanche touched Rose's like side boob and side, like it was very minimal. And then Rose sort of squirmed and she was like, ugh. Like,
well, this was 1989.
Yeah.
It was, I think a little, anything more than that. I bet you there was like, people from the network that were right there on set for that scene, like being like, you know,
they can't be too slutty.
Now we've gone over our guidelines with you. Please don't step out of those. Like, they probably stressed about that.
Too much side boob touching.
Yeah. Like they probably gave them that note, like do it very minimally. Don't go, what?
Yeah. Like remember like that episode of Roseanne, like was 5 years later where, she kissed another woman and that was a huge deal. So like,
Wasn't it Sharon Stone?
No, it was
Sandra Bernhardt.
Mariel Hemingway.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
Mariel Hemingway.
So like, you can only imagine how I guarantee you there was people right there like, you know, we need to talk about this dance scene.
It's an actual dirty dancing situation. Like the movie, like the plot was at the Golden Girls set, and like, Rue McClanahan's like, no, we're gonna dance dirty. It's what we do. Okay, so
I will not have my art be censored by you people.
Rue had a British. Was that
no? That
Southern?
Was
okay.
That was her.
And then I was like, I won't. I can't do British. Anyway,
this has not been a good episode for accents.
No, not at all.
Sorry, I started it off with a weird accent. Okay, okay. So then they scrambled out. Well, Sophia and Dorothy, they come in and they catch them. And there was this comment like, I don't care, Sophia made, I don't care what they do on their time. If you put your hands on bros like that, like, I'm disowning you.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, whoa, that's crazy.
Old Italian lady, I don't know what to tell you.
You can marry some strange man in Italy, but you can't, like, touch your roommate.
But you better not be gay. I swear to God.
You better not be gay. Okay. So then they've been there probably less than 24 hours, uh-huh. those people. And they start scrambling out, like, with their suitcases.
Okay, so, bye.
We got to catch a boat.
Yeah, why a boat?
Yeah, where are they going?
I mean, they said something like they came from Sicily on a boat. They said something like a 90-day travel.
That is just unnecessary, and they're like, stereotyping about something that... Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's... Oh, they're from Sicily. They must have come on a boat. It's like, but...
They... You know. Like they probably have a little, they could probably afford flights, you know, mm-hmm. it's probably just as much money.
Probably not very good planes from Sicily, but.
Because you have to buy food on a boat, you know, or wherever they stop.
It would take like weeks to get from Miami to Sicily on a boat.
All the money you spend on food, you can just buy a plane ticket.
All the money you lose by not being home to work.
Yeah, there you go.
This episode has a lot of holes in it.
they spent 90 days getting to Miami, and they were there 24 hours, and now they're going back.
Well, let's get back on the boat.
Yeah. And then why would they go just to tell someone that you're our daughter?
But it's not a big deal anymore.
You know, we had a heart-to-heart in the past 10 hours mm-hmm. because they were asleep the night before, and they were all over her grill. And now the next day they woke up, and like they were just like... You know what? What we're doing is wrong. And you're a daughter. And, like, we love you. Oh, and it turns out that the guy wants to marry Gina now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The theme for this episode is missed opportunities. First of all, that kind of storyline is something that could have been a two-parter, maybe.
Yeah.
We could have had it to be continued for this.
Right.
We should have got to meet the guy who was who was part of this whole marriage arrangement thing. There just should have been a lot more, I think.
Right.
They tried to wedge something so big.
There could have been like a marriage like about to happen.
This could have been like the plot of the Golden Girls movie if they ever had that. You know, like that's how heavy the plot is.
There could have been like the dude there and Dorothy having the wedding in that living room. Mm-hmm. And like...
Of course,
And even in like an even dirtier dancing scene. Like competition
that would have been in the wedding. Yes.
In the wedding.
maybe a couple Elvises.
Yeah, a couple Elvises.
Yeah,
we're punching up a Golden Girls episode from 27 years ago.
Wedding cake disaster of like dirty dancing.
Write that down.
Writing it. Okay, and so then they leave, and then I guess Sophia left her keys at the hospital mm-hmm. somewhere. And she went back to get them. And so when Dorothy was going to go get coffee or whatever, like Sophia brings out a piece of paper. And then Dorothy turns around and is like, aha, I knew you got the results. Mm-hmm. Tell me what they are. And so it was just a shopping list. But like, who knows if she did get them? Because she could have. You know, like she could have gone the test.
Sure.
I think she did.
Do we think that Sophia and Dorothy are not mother and daughter, or what's our takeaway here?
I don't think that Gina's her daughter. I think that was like, I think she found out she's not her daughter by accident. But that whole ruse, that whole like, the shenanigans.
Ruse McClanahan.
Yeah.
was still like real. Mm-hmm. Like they were still smuggling drugs.
Okay, so you're still holding on to that.
See,
I'm still holding on to that.
I think Sophia also cannot resist a shenanigan.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think this is a big shenanigan. I think she was just like, I'm just going to pick this scab for a while and see mm-hmm. where it goes.
I've never heard shenanigan singular. So that's
because she could have been like at the hospital and she was like, well, this baby's longer, you know?
Well, like also like babies.
You want a good long baby.
Aren't necessarily the same size they are like as adults, like relative to other babies. Like I was like 9 pounds when I was born, and my husband Jeff, who's like 6'3", was 6 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
All right.
so.
But
so I call bullshit.
Bullshit. Okay. All right. And so, but it turns out to be a shopping list. And the shopping list is get the drugs out of the house.
Yep.
And also the test results were green and then that paper was yellow. So like it was definitely not like Dorothy should have known, you know.
Yeah, Dorothy.
Yeah, fucking dumbass. All right. And so they go get their coffee and the episode's over.
And that's that.
That's that.
That's
and
that.
They and they never speak of this
yeah.
these questions again.
I would say this episode was fun to watch.
Sure. They all.
Yeah, I agree.
It was fun to see the silliness of mm-hmm. an arranged marriage and like these people that were super animated. Oh, we didn't talk about the when they saw each other, they were like, ah, like,
yeah.
So really, Italian.
Very mm-hmm. Italian. Very sexual, too.
Sure. Like, oh. I hope yeah. that's one and the same.
Yeah.
This is a very sexual episode.
Yeah, it was. Let's balance Dirty Dancing with family values and it'll be okay.
Yes.
All right. We did it, guys.
We
Yay!
Did it.
Yay.
We broke this down. Okay. And so, Michael, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yay.
This is a real honor.
100 episodes. 100
episodes. Keep it 100.
So this comes out on the 24th of August.
The 24th?
And are there any shows that you would like to promote?
I believe there are. Let me check my... well, on the 26th, I'm hosting a show that you are a part of, Anthony.
Yay!
At my house. So come down to my house, everybody.
Is this your house or the house?
It's not my house. I'm living with the technician for Bird City Radio, actually.
Nolan, right?
Nolan Ross, yeah. Bird City Radio, the podcast I do with Michael Polcone. And we've decided we're going to do monthly shows there now. And Anthony is a part of it, as well as Christian Piper, Brian Vokey, and Carmen Morales.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. That's on the 26th.
They're all coming from LA
yeah.
to do Very this nice. Show.
To come to the house and mm-hmm. do the house show. And then, let's see. Up until then, I think the only thing I have that really should be mentioned is, on the 20th of September, I'm doing Snap Battles at House of Comedy. And on the 28th of September, I'm judging Kamikaze Karaoke with Ricardo Roca and Ian Gilb at 10 p.m. Prof.
Ooh, Kamikaze Karaoke.
Mm-hmm. And you can follow me on Twitter at Mikey Pala, 2 L's, 480, and then mpala 480 on Instagram.
Yay.
Mm-hmm.
And Genevieve, where are you going to be after August 24th?
All right. Well, I've got a string of festivals I'm in. I'm going to be in Columbus, Ohio next week. For the Arch City Comedy Festival. That would be August 25th through 27th. So not next week. It'll be this week because that's when the podcast comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then the end of September, I'm going to be in Flagstaff for Big Pine from September 22nd through 24th. Mm-hmm. And then Anthony and I are going to be in Austin for the Altercation Comedy Festival. September 28th through 30th.
Awesome.
Yay.
And it's going to be awesome. And then I'm going to Des Moines for Beast Village Comedy Festival.
Yay. I thought that was that weekend.
I can go for one day.
You're going to go for one day?
I'm going to go for one
oh
day.
Oh my God. You are crazy.
That's how much I love Des Moines and its wonderful people. So
what day is that? The Des Moines
Saturday.
The 30th?
The first. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Nice. You were there last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you had a lot of good things to say about that, I remember.
Oh, man, yeah.
I want to check
that.
That
was really fun. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Okay, cool. You should probably stay a couple more days and do some other shows there or something.
Yeah, I want to try. Cool. And I'm at Genevieve Rice on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. So.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I am at Anthony DeSamito on Instagram and Twitter, and on Periscope, the same. And then Snapchat, I'm at Jizamito. And After August 24th, I'm going to be at Smoke at 7, August 26th. And that same night at the, was there a name for the show?
The Burning Bird Comedy Hour.
Burning Bird Comedy Hour. That's a great name, by the way. At 9 o'clock at Paladino's house, the address will be on a flyer on Facebook going doing the rounds.
And we'll maybe we could share that. I don't know. We'll figure it out, but we'll get the word out as to where people need to go.
Yeah, people will figure it out.
Yes.
And I'm going to be at Ella. I don't know the place for that show. I just know the city. I'm going to be at September 5th at Finn McCool's, I believe is in Santa Monica. And September 20th, I'm going to be doing the roast battle at the Comedy Store in the Belly Room at 10:30.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to be battling Alicia Cooper.
Oh, friend of the show.
Friend of the show. I'm so excited to roast her because I love her. And then, Flapper, September 22nd at 7:30. Some people take a while to listen to these, so I can promote later stuff. And September 26th at the Pikey in LA somewhere. Along with our own individual Twitters, the podcast also has a Twitter. It's at Thank You For Being a Podcast, but as an acronym, at TYFBAP at TIFBAP. Also at TIFBAP on Instagram, and I think that's it. You can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or any other platform you used to listen to us today. Music is by Brian Kokernek and Mike Dennison. If you're following along, you can watch the next episode beforehand. It is episode 25 and 26 together from season 4, and it's a flashback episode. But we're going to be recording it all in one 45-minute chunk. And so we may watch it and record it at the same time. Do you want to just do that? Or do you
want to?
We'll see. Okay, we'll figure it out. We'll talk about technicals later. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Michael Palladino.
Thank you, guys.
And have a beautiful day and or night. Yay!
Gonna stuff a chicken. Gonna stuff the chicken. Like my mama taught me.
Like my mama taught me.
Gonna take the chicken.